The Lord is good. Today we want to talk about spiritual foundation check. Spiritual foundation check. Amen. Check your spiritual foundation. Spiritual foundation check. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We pray your blessings, God, upon your people, upon your word, upon the fellowship of your spirit. As we come together, O God, to proclaim your truth, that when we leave this place, we'll be the better. That lost will be found, confused will be straightened out, and that we'll all be determined to hold on to see exactly what the end is going to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As believers, we are spiritual houses built for the glory, honor, and use of God. But it is our responsibility to perform a spiritual foundation check, to do an inspection, to make sure that when it's all said and done, we will still be able to stand. You ever hear that song, I Still Stand, Still Standing? We are spiritual houses. The Word of God says we are spiritual houses, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. You don't have to turn to it, but 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 10 says this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and gracious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, a lot of times we don't think of ourselves as spiritual houses, but we're spiritual houses. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, I got to say that again, because it just goes all over us. We're so busy looking at our little issues and problems that we don't really know who we are. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So don't feel bad when folks start talking about you strange. You're supposed to be strange. You're peculiar. You're not going where they're going. You're not doing what they're doing. You don't see what they see no more. You're seeing something different. It says that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I say, if I change that much, I'll feel different, ought to look different, ought to think different, ought to talk different, ought to be different. Royal generation. You're royal. You're a chosen, a royal priesthood. Priesthood. Now y'all know I'm from the hood. Amen. I'm from the priesthood. Oh, I wish that. Come on, see. See, y'all supposed to be with you. Y'all my brothers and sisters. We are a chosen generation. Royal priesthood. And peculiar people. Now, some of them might say Pastor was peculiar before he got saved, but it ain't none of your business. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also a builder together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What is all it about? That your temple, my temple, is the residence of the Holy Spirit. We are walking and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be able to live in our temples. It's the house of God's Holy Spirit. So we need to do a spiritual foundation check. Because what happens is when you buy a house, before you buy it, before that bank or that lending institution puts up their money, they want to make sure that there is minimal risk for them. They don't care about you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. What do you think the housing issue is about? They want to make sure there's minimal risk for them. So they will have an inspection done before they give up their mortgage money. And they want to inspect a home. They want to make sure that everything is up to code. But see, you got to understand, you know what I'm saying? We are spiritual houses. And every now and then, it's our responsibility, because the mortgage has been paid on your spiritual house, it's our responsibility to check our spiritual foundation to make sure that everything's up to code. Because when I was a babe in Christ, I needed a little foundation. It had to be that strong. But when I grew up in him, when I began to eat the milk and the meat of the Word of God, then I needed a stronger foundation. So it's up to you and I to make that spiritual foundation check. Because there could be some cracks in your foundation. In our own home, every night people come in, and sometimes there was a crack. They said the house is settling. And I wasn't settling for that. So I'm saying in your spiritual house, you might find some cracks. So sometimes what happens, they say because the earth moves, and because of heavy trucks that might come through, because of vibrations and tremors in the earth, that may cause some separation in your building. And some cracks may appear. But see, you need to get those cracks fixed. Because if they continue to separate, then your house, and not only will it show you an indication, sometimes it'll show you that there's a problem in the foundation. The crack shows up here, but the problem is in my foundation. The enemy will begin to mess with me over here, but the problem is where I stand and what I believe and what I lean on and who I trust. Spiritual foundation change. How does a believer become rooted and grounded in their faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How does one not easily become swayed or taken away by every wind of teaching that comes forth? If you don't know nothing, you fall for everything. Anything that sounds good, you fall for it. Matter of fact, some people came in our block the other day. They Jehovah's Witnesses came in and put a little thing in the door. Talking about Jesus. The question was, how can one man die for everybody? I said, Lord have mercy. Come out and hear. See, you have to know that you know. You can no longer stand on mama and grandmama's foundation. They got their own foundation. You need to get your own foundation. You need to know what you stand on and what you believe. Know it for yourself. But see, people would take that and run over there and think they got the right information. It sounds slightly okay. A lot of folks, the enemy is not dumb. The enemy wants to get you, he'll make it sound slightly okay. That's why you got to rightly divide the word. Amen. That's why I come to Bible study. That's why I read the word of God. That's why I study, because I'm not going to walk around like I have arrived. I want to know. And I want my brothers and sisters to know. It's our calling, our responsibility
to know to the best of our ability to rightly divide that word. So you might know, so you might be able to build your foundation. How does a believer hold out and stand firm in their relationship with Jesus Christ in spite of everything that's going on in their life and around their life? How do you hold on sometimes? How do you still believe God when so much you know what is breaking loose in your life? It seems like after one thing happens, then another thing happens, then another thing happens. It seems like God is nowhere in your life. But see, no, if you got the right foundation, you'll still be able to stand. When you got the right foundation, you'll be able to stand. If you got a shaky foundation, then that thing will get you. Next thing you know, you done left the church. You done shut yourself up in the house. You done turned your cell phone off. Ain't nobody heard from you. You look at a mess. Because you don't have the right foundation. We folk that take a lick and keep on ticking, baby. Because there's a spiritual warfare going on. I'm not saying we ought to embrace and love the stuff, trials and tribulations, but it's part of it. The enemy always wants to pick on the people and the children of God. That's why when you're having a good day, enjoy it. Don't walk around telling yourself, oh my God, I don't deserve this. What's going to happen next? You can't even enjoy it. Every time your phone rings, oh, who this? You looking for bad stuff. No, enjoy your day. You deserve it. But sometimes some of us go through so much, we don't even think we a good day ever coming. Anybody ever been like that? You've been through so much, and you seem like ever since you could remember, you've been going through some stuff. But if you got the right foundation, God wants you to know that your day is still going to come. God will say to you, when you get the right foundation, I'm the one that kept you when folk tried to kill you. I'm the one that kept you when they tried to mess over you. I'm the one that kept you in the midst of it all. God said, I pull this curtain back to let you see what they really want to do. You are faint right now. But I kept you. And I know some of the stuff you didn't like, but I had you. I know just how much you can bear. Some of us in here, when we were young, we went through some stuff. That you would tell folks, there's some kids now going through stuff that adults never had to go through. That's why you keep your children bathed in prayer and keep your neighbor's children bathed in prayer. Get that prayer beyond your house and pray for your community and pray for somebody else's child. We gotta spread this thing out. We're too individualistic with this prayer, this Christianity. We gotta spread this thing out. We are light in the community. You don't light a candle and put it under a bush. No, you light it and set it up on the hill. And tell folks, when all hill is breaking all in your life, look at the hill for when. And somebody needs to see you standing on the foundation. That's why somebody said, I think Jimmy said that in the prayer, that somebody needs to see you going through some stuff. They know what you've been through. They know what you're up against. But they need to see you standing on the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, standing on the Word of God, so you'll be able to deal with whatever's coming your way. It's all right. It's okay. Sometimes you've been in the storm. You're going to look like you've been in the storm, but you're still standing. That means the enemy was not able to do what the enemy tried to do. That means the enemy threw his best shot, but he didn't know you had an awesome Savior. He see, the last time the enemy checked, he thought you was playing church. But the last time he messed with you, you stopped playing church and you got serious about church. And he came around again. Oh, this thing is so real. It's a spiritual warfare. You can't fight it with the flesh. I don't care what gun you got, what knife you got, what boxing gloves you got. You can't do it like that. It's in a whole nother realm. All believers must build their relationship with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on a firm foundation. When you build, the foundation is a supporting position, the supporting portion or base of a wall or building, usually masonry, constructed partly or wholly below the surface of the ground. See, your foundation gotta be deep, y'all. You ever see them build a house? They don't put the foundation. They don't put the woods up. They don't put that stuff right level. They dig deep. Because they want to make sure that the building or the structure don't fall over with every wind and weight of doctrine that comes through. So when you're building, you got to go deep into the word. You got to get beyond the 23rd Psalm. You ought to know more than that by now. How long you been in ministry? How long you been in church? Every time somebody calls you to recite something to pray, you pray in the 23rd. Ain't nothing wrong with the 23rd Psalm, but please. There's 66 books. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Cool. Make a joyful noise. Yeah. That's only part of the foundation. I need some Old Testament, some New Testament. I need some apostles. I need some prophets. That's what it's built on. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Check your cornerstone. Every building has a cornerstone, which means if you pull that out, it's over. If Jesus Christ pulled himself out of your life will be over. He's the chief cornerstone of our building. Hallelujah. If he pulled himself away, if Jesus just took a nap for a second, I'd be messed up. I'm so glad he needed something to sleep. I'm so glad nothing ever gets in his eyes. And he got to go blink and start cleaning his eyeballs and take his eye off me. That's how real this thing is. Setting up that foundation. A believer wants to be sure that they're building their relationship on a sturdy, sure foundation. That's why sometimes you got to graduate from hearing everybody else teach and preach to digging in that word for yourself. I'm like you. I used to think that years ago. Study to show thyself approved and all that. I thought that was the pulpit's responsibility. Till I found out that sometimes the pulpit ain't around. When I was going through some stuff, and I had to dig in the word for myself to understand, God, what is this thinking? And what are you doing in my life? Sometimes you like Paul. Paul said, I sought God three times with a sword in my flesh, and God finally told my grace. So some of the stuff you're going through, God's not going to take it. He's going to grace it. And grace, it means that his power is made perfect in your weakness. That you will still be able to do what God called you to do in spite of your limp. In spite of the pain. God said, I'm going to grace it. So God speak to you. Paul said, I sought the Lord thrice. And he said, the only reason God gave me the thorn was because of what he privileged me to see. Oh my God. You want all that anointing? You want all that privilege? He said, the thorn is a messenger Satan gives to me that I might not get too full of myself. So I said, wait a minute. Why would Paul call it a thorn? So I said, why does a rose have thorns? Guess what the computer said? To protect itself. So that big animals can't eat it. Because, and I say, well, how does that work? He said, because you got to understand, before the rose becomes a plant and a flower, before it sends off the nice smelling scent, the thorns come first. Because if the scent came first, those against it would come and grab it. So I said, God, what does that mean in ministry? God said, I ain't going to give you a ministry first. I'm going to toughen you up first. I'm going to give you some thorns first. And in Paul's case, God, I gave you some thorns to protect you from yourself. Sometimes we can get so high and mighty. Sometimes we can get so filled. We can be our own worst enemy. So God was telling Paul, when you come up against yourself thinking you are some. You know what it said? It said the small insects and stuff can still get in there and eat the plant, but the big stuff. Oh, my God. If you got the right foundation, I got something for the termite. But I got a thorn for the terrible. Oh, come on, somebody. Got to build that foundation. And sometimes you're building your foundation, there's some stuff that you got to go through. And sometimes God's not going to deliver you from everything. So if you wait to be delivered from everything, you will do nothing. God's the only one I know that allowed me to work, and I'm still part messed up. Because he's working on me. He's working in me. You got folk in church. I'm just waiting to God, that God made me perfect so I can serve. Hey, you'll never serve. God uses imperfect folk. Amen. Hallelujah. But he graces it. Because when I put myself in the proper position, when I humble myself in his sight, he said, I'll exalt you in due time. I called you to preach this thing. So whatever handicap you got, go ahead and preach that. My grace. But you got to have that foundation. You got to be able to stand. You got to be able to understand and understand, God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life, but I trust you. And I'm standing on your word. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Everybody else left me, God, but you're still here. You didn't say that everybody would stay with me. You said you would never. Oh, my God. We got that thing to the God, what you doing? Everybody that left me. God didn't say everybody stay with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Through the midst of some of the toughest times of your life, you still got to be able to stand. And let the world know. I know I can't explain it to you, but I still love God. I still trust God. I still believe God. In spite of what he's taken me through, in spite of what he's allowed me to go, I still love him. Why? Because can't nobody else do me like him. Ain't nobody greater. Can't nobody love you like God? And because you're going through something, don't mean he loves you. He's working with you and working on you. But somewhere somebody taught us you ain't supposed to go through nothing. I said, Lord, if I went through stuff when I didn't serve you, and now that I serve you, I'm in a spiritual war, what made me think I'm going to get away just free? Some of the stuff we go through, it strengthens us and it teaches us. And some of the stuff we go through, some of the stuff I used to go through, I put myself in it. The devil ain't happy. I thought it up myself. I manufactured my, I strategized myself. I've always been a strategist. Devil ain't do that. I did that. But God was on mercy and gracious that when I repented, when I told God the truth, he still stepped. Oh my God. See, I ain't have to play the blame. I learned not to play the blame game. Because while I'm doing the blame game, I'm lying. And God's not going to bless me while I'm lying. Well, Lord, the devil. You know how the devil is, don't you, Lord? I was on my way to church. You know the devil, don't you? See, that's why I sent Jesus. You got to tell the truth. If you can't be truthful with yourself, I know you lie to everybody else. But when you're on the foundation, you got nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. When you got the right foundation, you can just go forth. You got to worry about faith. Because you know what? No matter what happens, God still got you. He didn't say you're going to like what I put you through. Ask Job. Ask Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob said, man, now I got to give me a shoe with a special heel. Jesus. Paul walking around with a thorn in his flesh, and somebody said it might be his eyesight or something, and they would laugh at him because they said he was all bent over, couldn't see. But who wrote the most letters? Who wrote the most epistles in the New Testament? Don't tell me God can't give me something to double back and grace it so that I can still do what God called. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. But you got to have the foundation. You don't have a foundation. Whatever comes my way will shake you and shake your foundation, and you'll be like, what? What happened? A faulty foundation will cause you problems when adverse conditions arise. That means you got to be strengthened for the journey. You got to have some stuff for when the other time comes. You know, see, what happens is you build it up. You send your prayers up. You stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ so when stuff comes, you ain't got to run trying to say, uh-oh. Anybody that's been like me, you went away from church for a little bit, and some big stuff came, you say, uh-oh. I need to get back to church. You ever take your Bible and sleep with it? You know, Try to read the whole thing in 1 year. But if I stay connected, I don't have to do no rush job like that. I don't have to do no cram session. If I stay connected, if I stay in fellowship, I don't have to worry about whether or not he knows my name and knows my voice.
And our scripture for today is Matthew 7, 21 to 27. We're going to look at three things. Number one, rejection. Number two, devastation. And number three, still standing. Number one, rejection. Number two, devastation. Number three, still standing. Rejection. This is for folk that had a wrong foundation. I mean, you awesome in ministry because gifts coming out of your face. You awesome. You are awesome in ministry. Man, you deep. But you did it in Jesus' name and you stole Jesus' fame. Look what it says. Rejection. Look. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And I said, Lord, why would you let somebody go on like that without letting them know? He said, they knew. They knew. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew where their power and their gift came from, and they refused to give me glory. They did it for themselves. They didn't do it in my name. They did it because they always wanted attention, because they never got no attention. They always want to be in the spotlight because they never were in the spotlight. Nobody ever chose them for anything. And they never grew up beyond that. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in our name? And in our name have cast out devils in our name, done many wonderful works. And then I will profess or declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. He rejected them straight up. I never knew you. Everything you did had no connection to me. And you had other folks fooled. But nothing you did gave me glory. Nothing you give will bless heaven. You did it all for yourself. He said, just get away. I don't even know you. Wow. You know why he ain't know? Because they ain't have the right foundation. Because you don't have the right foundation in the Word of God. If your spiritual house is not built on the Word of God, then you're going to do stuff out of your flesh. First time somebody say amen or something, you just going to go crazy. It gets you. That's what he said. Look at all the stuff you did. You ain't doing it in my name. I know you made a lot of money off me. I know you made some albums off me. I know you went around the country preaching. I never knew you. This is in the red. Somebody talk about the red letter Christian. This is in the red. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They had the wrong foundation. When you got the wrong foundation, you'll be doing some wrong stuff. And see, you can't wait on people always to pull your coat, because people, you're supposed to be helping folks. Some folks depend on you to help them, and you all messed up. And you know you jacked up. You looked in the mirror this morning. You know you ain't right. You know you ain't right. But yet, you were getting over with not being right. It's been all right with you. But now it comes to that day of judgment, and you come and say, hey, Gene. I did all this in your name. No, you didn't. And you know, Jesus keeps real good records. He don't have you and I mixed up with nobody. But when it came to chapter 7, he said, no. No, I don't know you. Get away. Depart. He didn't say, excuse me. He said, depart. That means get out my face. Oh, come on. So y'all want to be sweet? No, this thing is real. I know. Get. You might have had your pastor fool. You might have had your family fool. Folk come to you for all. You praying with them. You got them all on the floor screaming and all kinds of stuff coming out of them. But it's for your glory. It wasn't for my glory. I let you do that because I'm a God of grace. And I thought under grace that eventually you would get it together. I thought if you stop being full of yourself and come to Bible study and Sunday school and church service and listen to the Word of God, I thought maybe my Word. But sometimes we can put up such a wall. Anybody ever lie to themselves? Don't raise your hand so much you believe in yourself.
You lied yourself so much, you start believing a lie yourself.
It come out so automatic when people talk to you.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That kind of stuff gets you in trouble. Check your foundation. That will wreck your foundation. That will wreck your life now and your eternal life. See, we don't look at it because the devil somehow got the minds of them that are blinded, you know, by this world, by the things of this world. Wanting to be, wanting to be. The only thing you want to be is what God would have you be. Hallelujah. If you want to be somebody, find out what God's will is for your life. If you want to be recognized, find out what God wants you to do in ministry. Find out your giftness if you want to be recognized. Because, you know, all that stuff, you got that stuff got to be under control. God, you know, you can't go crazy like that. Some people are dying to get to the pulpit and they can't even preach. Ain't even called to preach, just won't be up front. I won't wear one of them robes, Doc. Hey, Doc. I won't wear one of them robes with the stripes on them, Doc. Yeah, you know how y'all do, man. That's what people say. Our stuff is good. Where you get that from, man? I can do that. There's people out there in church that I can do that. If you ain't called to it, don't touch it. I tell folk, you know, you can be called a preacher, I mean you called a pastor, you better be careful. You can be called a singer, not called to sing solo. Oh, oh my. Oh, bam. See, that's why they got the thing called background singers. Know your strength. You getting out there, ain't nobody clapping for you, everybody holding their ears, you upset. You ain't no soloist. Stay in your lane. See, that's the true theology. Come on. That's why y'all be careful with them. I feel the Lord is telling you. God did. That's you sometimes. The Lord ain't saying nothing to you. Lord, don't you can't sing like that. People get mad sometimes. Tell Sister Jackie, you know, they got carrot tune. I don't mean in the bag, you know. There are requirements. The requirement, everything else. You can sing with the choir from your pew. Stay right there. I love you for your heart's desire. But your heart's desire and your voice ain't coming together. There's no agreement. They're not on one accord. Oh, let me move on. Somebody may join the Holy Week Choir. They have messed up. I done messed them up on that. You gotta have the right foundation. How you gonna teach Bible study? You don't know nothing. Every time you teach the same thing. Let's turn to the 100th Psalm. I know we taught that last week, but God revealed. Something different to me. No, you're that lazy. You don't want to study. You don't want to get yourself. That's the people that he said, depart from me. You just, you play with my ministry. You play with the lives of people. I'm so glad that when the word of God goes forth, it can go forth from somebody who is an infidel, who's messed up, but it doesn't mess up the power of the word of God. So you receive the word. You ain't got nothing to do with the container. If I'm up here and I'm messed up, the word of God ain't messed up. That's why when I tell folks, when they put on the TV that pastors or preachers fail, you ain't got to fall with them. You got the word. You look at the word. You study. You know what you heard. And the Spirit of God is working in you. You ain't messed up because we messed up. Word of God is still powerful. It will do what he sent it to do. You got what you needed. God gonna take in all that other stuff. Woe unto them that scatter my sheep. I will give you pastors according to my heart. Will feed you with knowledge and understanding. He's not gonna tickle your ears. Not gonna tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to, so you can build that foundation. The worst thing you want is to buy a new house and the foundation's all messed up because whoever built it thought they would cut corners because they weren't gonna live in it. Because they were selling it to you. That's the worst thing you can do. Find a church where they're not going to build that thing up right. They're going to cut corners. Because they got this, and this is for you. Look at devastation. Rejection number two, devastation. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, which means the word of God, and doeth them not, shall be what? Likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. This person built their foundation. I mean, they could have been coming to church. They weren't hearing nothing. They had time to hear nothing. They always had something else to do. Every time the preach word went, their bladder got weak. Then they had to go outside because they got a phone call on their phone. This cell phone get you in trouble. But he says, they didn't do these sayings of mine. He built his house upon the sand. And the rain, tough times came. The rain descended. The floods came. And the wind blew. And beat upon that house. And it did what? And how was the fall? And great was the fall of it. Guess what? The house didn't sink in the sand. It fell. You would think it was built on sand that when the rain comes, it was just like, you know, quicksand. It was just sink. He said, no, it fell. I said, Lord, why would it fall and not sink? He said, I want folk to see what I do to folk that play with me. I want people to see what happens to folk that play with my word and play with my people and rip off my sheep. And fleece my sheep. I want them to see. I want everybody to see what happened. That person had the wrong thought. I know they look good. So my house looks so pretty, but it's so built on the wrong foundation. We got all the window treatments, all the furniture, all the central airs, central heating. Some of them even got some air freshener coming through there. But the foundation ain't right. You all right, Copas? You all right? The foundation. I see you over there, baby. The foundation. If you don't have the right foundation on the Word of God, when trials and tribulations come, when the winds come, when stuff starts shaking, when the tornadoes come, when spiritual tsunamis come, when spiritual tornadoes come, when spiritual hurricanes come, you ain't got nothing to hold on to. I'd rather have the foundation of Jesus so that when everything around me falls, I'm still standing. But this person was devastated because they didn't do what the Word said. Obedience is always better. The sacrifice. And John 1 and John 1 and 4 says, you know, and 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the word is Jesus Christ in the flesh. Your foundation is on the word of God. And then number three, there's somebody that wasn't rejected. There's somebody that wasn't devastated or received devastation. There was somebody that was still standing. Look at Matthew 7, look at verse 24. You notice it says, therefore. And what he's saying, he said that right after he told the people to get away from him. He said, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. That's when you know you got the right foundation. When you look at your chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, you got the right foundation because you got the rock. You built your house upon a rock. And just like in the foolish man, the same rains descended. Did y'all see that connection? Yeah. The same rains descended. Yeah. He went through the same stuff. Yeah. The same floods came. Yeah. And the same winds blew. Yeah. And beat upon that house. But the results are different. And it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Oh, we got to understand that sometimes we might go through the same stuff that those outside of the church go through. But guess what? It fell not. Because of your foundation. That's why your neighbors look at you sometimes and know why you go back and forth to church and you experience the same stuff that I experience and I don't even go to church. So you just hold on. Because when the rains come and when the floods come, and the winds blow. And they beat upon my house.
When it's all said and done, I still stand. So neighbor, where are you? You looking for me? Because now you ought to know what I got.
You better check your spiritual foundation. It's time for you and I to stop playing church. Whatever you have to experience or go through on your Christian journey, you want to make sure that your spiritual house is built on the right foundation. And when it's all said and done, and when it's time for you to experience that new kingdom, you don't want to be told that your spiritual builder was not up to code. You don't want to be told you were a false prophet, a false preacher, a false pastor. You was an impersonator. You took the hypocritical oath. You were playing church. There's one person you can't fool. One person you can't fool. You can't fool God. So if your goal is to fool people, you probably can do that. You can probably do that well. But where are you trying to go? What's your goal in life? Where are you trying to spend eternity? You don't want Jesus to say, get away from me, I never knew you. Or you didn't pass inspection? Check your foundation now. And make sure it's built on scripture like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at Acts 4:12. This is the kind of rocks you need to build your foundation on. Acts 4:12 will let you know about this. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is the kind of stuff I want you to build your foundation on. Amen. We need to build our foundation. See, you use the best stuff when you're building a spiritual house. When you build your natural house, you use the best stuff. Use the best stuff you build your spiritual house. Look at Philippians 2 and 8. And being found in fashion as a man. Look over to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, my God, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And in verse 8, we get to that word that we hate. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the kind of stuff you want to build your house on. So when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow, you can get up and say, I'm still standing. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all building on some of that stuff y'all got from Home Depot. Don't go to Lowe's. Don't go to Home Depot. They talk about, we can help you build anything. We got the building material. Nah, this is a spiritual building. And they got some good sales going on, but I ain't trying to build that kind of house today. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm talking about somebody that really wants to stand in the midst of it all. I'm talking about somebody that really, no matter what you're going through, you're not giving up. You're not surrendering to the enemy. You're not surrendering to the devil. I'm talking about somebody that's willing to put up a good fight, a spiritual fight. Put on the whole arm of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Stop fighting your sisters and brothers. Stop fighting one another. It's the enemy.
But against what?
Principalities. Against power. Against the rules of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. And God said, I got something for you to put on. Because I want you to be able to stand. When it's all said and done. When the war is over. Wherefore take on you the whole armor of God. Don't forget about the whole armor. Don't come out half prepared. That ye may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. What's the evil day? When the winds come. And the rains come. And when the floods come. And when you get to see Jesus. Stand therefore. He didn't say kneel. He didn't say just give in. He didn't say cow down. Stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked. In case you didn't know it, God loves you. It's the devil that don't like you. God's not messing you up. It's the enemy that's come against you and your family and your marriage and your money. So what you gonna do? You gonna cry every Sunday? No, I'm gonna stand with the whole armor of, I got my foundation. Now I need to get myself together. I'm standing on the word, and the word told me to put on the whole armor. Quit all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray it always. You ain't got to have no special ties. You don't have to have no special carpet or rug. You don't have to face east, west, north, or south. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm not going to say don't look to the hills, but come on. If I'm sitting in a meeting, and if I look up to the sky, they might think I'm trying to be a little nasty. I just sit there and look at them in my heart. I'm praying. You ain't got to let folks know, well, I'm a Christian. I can't. Just do your thing. Just walk in it. As a matter of fact, before they even say what they got to say, something in the atmosphere. Because you brought it in there with you. You. I've heard testimonies. There's some folks that came in. They came in somebody's office. They're supposed to terminate them. And the person couldn't do it. I don't know why I can't. I don't know why. Matter of fact, if you don't get in trouble for this, I'll let you know. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. That's it. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're closing out, y'all. We're closing out. I know y'all got to get out of here. Romans 10. Look at verse 8. Romans 10. See, I'm talking about the foundation built on the Word of God. And you're going to build your foundation on the Word of God. It makes sense that we would do what the Word of God says. It's one thing to have a foundation. It's another thing not know what to put on it. Some people build a foundation for something that weighs a certain amount of pounds and put the wrong amount of pounds. Oh, my God. But see, when you got your firm foundation, when you got it on Jesus Christ, no matter what comes your way, no matter what heaviness comes over you. Oh, my. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saveth? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. What is God trying to say? When you can't get in touch with your prayer partner, when you can't get in touch with the intercessory ministry, when you can't get in touch with your deacon, when you can't get in touch with deaconess, when you can't get in touch with the mother's board, when you can't get in touch with the church, when you can't get in touch with your pastor, when you can't get in touch with your co-pastor, the word is nigh thee, even in... You better learn how to talk to yourself. Encourage yourself. You've got the foundation. You got it. You got the foundation. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
The word of faith says, I got the foundation. I might as well believe the foundation that I'm standing on. And Jesus Christ is my cornerstone. I got the word of faith.
Look at verse 9. That as thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care what the devil's trying to do or what he's trying to put in your mind or your ear. You shall be saved. You do your part. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. No matter what you're going through, you ain't got to be ashamed. Somebody tell me, oh, I thought you went to church. Ain't no thought, I do go to church. I'm just going through right now. But my season's about to come. Y'all learn how to let folks know. Yeah, I ain't down on my little. I'm just waiting for God to bless me. Ha, glory. You got to understand what's happening here. When you're on that foundation, people say what they want to say, but you do know something different. You say, look, you waiting for D.C. to give you something. I got heaven on my side. You waiting for the state to pass a bill. Ha, I got heaven on my side. Oh, I wish you would do the difference of this thing. And when the state does what you want to do, ain't nothing but heaven telling the state to give you what. The wealth. We love to say that the wealth of the wicked is waiting up for the righteous, but you ain't righteous yet. You have no right expecting God to give you the wealth of the wicked if you're not righteous yet. All you want is the money. You don't want to praise him. You don't want to worship him. You don't want to magnify him. You don't want to lift him up. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to pay no tithe. You don't want to do nothing. But get some free money. This ain't no food stamp proof app. There ain't no access card stuff where you go to the office and fill out stuff and lie about how many kids you got. This is the real deal. We got too much of that mess mixed up in us. You got the right foundation. Get the lies out. Get all that mess out your house. Get all that mess out your life and live for him. If you want the fullness of God to come in, get all that trash out. But there's no difference between verse 12 between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
How many times you got to say that, Paul, till we get it in our thick heads? That can't nobody take your salvation from you. And if you're truly saved, you got some blessings coming your way. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I remember Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do some stuff. And see, that was a promise that was made. That was a promise fulfilled. Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Why? Because I'm here. You got to know. Whatever you need, Jesus said, I'm here. I'm here. And I came to do exactly what I said I was going to do. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You got to do a spiritual foundation check. Don't have no faulty foundation. Because on Christ. What's that? What's that hymn 274? I said, Lord, have mercy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Sometimes, if you look out there, when you go home at the church, it has a cornerstone. Talking about when the church was built. Well, in my spiritual house,
The cornerstone says Jesus Christ, Mary's baby, Rosa Sharon, Lily of the Valley, my everything. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. The foolish man of Scripture built this house on sand. Sinking sand. But God didn't let the house sink. He destroyed it. Because anything that's not like him, anything that's making like it's him, don't feel sorry for them. They ain't mean you no good. Jesus. Let us all stand. My. You got me with that one, sister. Woo. Lord Jesus, I wasn't going there. Ah!